Hey guys, my name is Annie and welcome to my channel, 10 to Life, where I am bringing you full true crime cases in under 10 minutes. No more boring storylines or empty plots, just the key details, the insane facts, and all of the unexpected twists that we know happen along the way. I'm coming to you directly from my apartment in Brooklyn, New York, which if you're watching this on my YouTube channel, you can see beautiful New York behind me. And if you're listening to the podcast version of this, but you want to check out the video, head on over to my YouTube channel. And if you like what you hear, please like, comment, share, review, and don't forget to subscribe to my channel by clicking on that cute little subscribe button. Follow me on social at @_AnnieElise, and let's jump into the case. All right, guys, exciting news today. Brand new developments in the Lori Vallow and Chad Daybell case. The probable cause affidavit was just unsealed last night, and it gives a totally new lens into the information. So the affidavit actually says that the investigation started back in November 2019, and that's when the FBI first started investigating how the children went missing. And it outlines that authorities used pings from Alex Cox, Lori's brother, if you remember, pings from his cell phone to determine, okay, what was his movements? Let's track his whereabouts. Let's see if we can start to piece something together. And as luck would have it, they did. Here's the timeline outlined in the affidavit of the series of events that took place. So this whole timeline starts with that trip to Yellowstone Park. And on September 8th, 2019, it shows that they go to Yellowstone Park, like we all knew they did, and that they leave the park at 6:40 p.m. and return to Lori's apartment at 8:37 p.m. And remember, this is the suspected night that Tylee went missing. Alex's phone is shown at Lori's apartment from 8:37 that night for an hour until 9:37 p.m. Then it shows Alex traveled to the Maverick, the local convenience store, at 9:43 p.m. until 9:53 p.m. So a quick little visit, probably, to pick up supplies. Alex then went back to Lori's apartment from 10:45 to 11:15 p.m. And then at 11:45 p.m., his cell phone dings and it shows him at his own apartment, which was in the same complex. Alex is back at Lori's apartment from 2:45 a.m. to 3:37 a.m. And this was the only time he was ever at her apartment in the hours between midnight and 6 a.m. So it was very odd. It wasn't regular behavior. He then returns back to his own apartment until 9 a.m. But then he goes to Chad Daybell's property from 9:20 a.m. to 11:40 a.m., so almost 2 hours. And remember, this is the day after the trip to Yellowstone. So he's at Chad Daybell's property for about 2 hours, probably getting rid of Tylee's body. And then, of course, that must make you hungry because his cell phone shows that he cruises over to Taco Bell from 11:52 a.m. to 12:02 p.m. I personally love Taco Bell, but if I just buried my niece's body, there is no way that I have some sort of appetite to go and chief down a gordita crunch. Are you kidding me? Side note, I love Taco Bell. So at 11:53 a.m., as Alex is mid-gordita crunch, just chiefing down his Taco Bell, Chad texts his wife, Tammy, which was just 14 minutes after Alex left his property. And here's what he says. Quote, "Well, I've had an interesting morning. I felt I should burn all the limb debris by the fire pit before it gets too soaked in the coming storms. And while I did so, I spotted a big raccoon along the fence. I hurried, got my gun, he was still on the fence. I got close enough and one shot did the trick. He is now in our pet cemetery. Fun times," unquote. Okay, there's so many things wrong with this. First of all, obviously the timeline is super suspicious, but also raccoons, and the FBI saw this, raccoons are nocturnal. So at noon, you're not gonna see a raccoon just cruising along your fence. But way to try to cover it up, buddy. A for effort. And 10 days later, on September 19th, Lori's good friend Melanie travels to Idaho to visit her with her boyfriend. Melanie and her boyfriend tell police they did see JJ the night of September 22nd. They say that they saw Alex bringing JJ back to Lori's apartment, and JJ was resting his head on his shoulder asleep, and they described it as a tender moment. They thought it was really sweet. He was walking him back into Lori's apartment and putting him to bed. But then the next morning, they ask Lori where JJ went. And Lori says he's been acting like a zombie. He was crawling all over the kitchen cabinets. He got on top of the cabinets in that space between the cabinets and the ceiling. And she says when he got up there, he knocked down a picture of Jesus from the refrigerator. And so she says Alex came and he took JJ. As though it was such a problem that this child was like climbing and having fun. Like, hello, that's what little boys do. But God forbid, you better call your brother to come and take him away. That same day, which now it's September 23rd, Alex's phone pinged again at Chad Daybell's property. And it was there from 9:55 a.m. to 10:15 a.m. And it pinged nearby the pond, which is later where the bodies were found. So now investigators have this timeline of evidence and they say, okay, it's very odd that Alex keeps traveling back and forth to Chad's property on these big key milestone days of when the children were last seen. So they go and decide, okay, it's time to execute that search warrant and let's see what's on the property. They get to the property and they look at all of the locations where Alex's phone pinged. And then they discover a patch in the ground that seems to have been disturbed. They say the weed growth on top of the patch was shorter than the surrounding weed growth. And they say they saw what appeared to also be sod etching. The total area that was disturbed was 4 feet by 2.5 feet. Underneath the layer of sod, they found several large flat rocks. They removed the large rocks and discovered 2 pieces of paneling. Then they removed the paneling and investigators discovered a round object covered in black plastic. When the FBI agent cut open the black plastic, they found what appeared to be human remains, and the crown of the head was covered in light brown hair. The remaining dirt around the object was methodically removed, exposing what appeared to be another body wrapped in black plastic, and the plastic was tightly secured with duct tape. Another patch of disturbed ground was found near the fire pit, which is also right by the pet cemetery. And if you remember, Chad mentions this pet cemetery in his earlier text to his wife, Tammy. Methodically, the dirt in that area was searched as well, and several items of interest were exposed, including bones, charred tissue, and charred bones. So as investigators are searching Chad's property, he's been across the street watching them do this the entire time. And when they get to the human remains and they discover them, he tries to flee. He jumps in his car, pulls out of the driveway, and tries to bolt. Luckily, officers obviously saw him and they arrested him before he could get away. The jig is up. You're caught. Now, all of this new information that's come to light comes at the perfect time because Lori and Chad are both set to stand trial the first week of July. Chad and Lori did think the world was going to be ending in July 2020, but little did they know, it's your world that's going to be ending, my friend. Happy trial day. I cannot wait to watch. Thanks for listening, guys, and don't forget to subscribe to my channel. And if you have any case recommendations, please send them my way. Until next time, bye.